Sairam children, welcome to this week's Children's Hour. As always, it is a delight to be with all of you.
Sairam children, delightful indeed it is. And we hope you like being with us as much as we enjoy being with you.
So, what shall we talk to you about today? What do you say, Prem? Do you have any idea?
Ganesh, what season is it now?
Oh, it's hot summer in Parthi. Thankfully, not very hot though. The weather gods have been little kind to us in the past week or so.
Yes, it is summer, but with summer comes another season too. Some season which we all look forward to.
Well, I don't know about others, but I look forward to only one thing every summer, and that is the mango season.
Absolutely right, Ganesh. I too was referring just to the mango season. It is a very, very special time of the year when we get something which we don't get in other times of the year.
Of course. The streets and the markets are filled with all types of mangoes. Banganapilli, Neelam, Totapuri, Kesar,
Stop. You are making all our mouths water, Ganesh.
Oh, your mistake to have brought up this topic, Prem. Mangoes are just absolutely irresistible.
They definitely are. But can you describe a mango fruit for me, Ganesh?
Oh, sure, Prem. It has a yellow or orange skin.
Okay.
Which is soft. Then there is the juicy, sweet, yellow pulp inside.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the large seed within. It has an exquisite fragrance. And the fragrance and the taste varies with the variety. Prem, really bad topic. Very, very bad topic. You are making me feel so hungry.
Okay. Thank you for that beautiful and mouth-watering description. Now, tell me how the same mango is when it is raw. That is, before it becomes a ripened fruit.
The same fruit has a green skin. The skin is thick. The pulp is white. Very hard and sour. Oh, very sour, I should say.
And what about the fragrance?
There is hardly any fragrance. Even if it is there, it is very different from the fragrance of a ripened fruit.
Very true. Children, isn't it such a grand wonder then, this whole transformation of a mango from the raw state to the ripened state? The green skin becomes yellow.
The white hard pulp becomes a soft yellow pulp.
And from somewhere comes a sweet fragrance. Let's say, children, you have a glass of juice. If you wish to make it more sweet, what do? We add a spoon of sugar. Have you ever wondered from where the sweetness comes into the sour mango? Does anyone put a few spoons of sugar into the mango? Then how does it become sweet?
And what about the fragrance? How does that enter the fruit? Isn't this all a grand mystery?
Well, there is no magic in this, children. This is all biology and chemistry. A number of chemical reactions occur in each mango. Just to put it simply for you, starches get broken down to sugars. Some chemicals are produced as a result of these reactions inside the fruit. And these chemicals give it the fragrance and so on. We can just go on and on like this.
But the beauty is, who tells the mango to do all these reactions? How does each mango know what it has to do to turn a sour, raw mango into a ripe, sweet mango?
And this whole chemical laboratory is present in each mango created in nature. And Ganesh, we all have done experiments in a chemistry lab, and we know how much effort it takes to do even one such reaction in the lab.
Yeah.
Isn't the wonders of nature truly mind-boggling?
Of course. If we were to see this whole process as coded in the mango tree, then imagine each mango seed has the whole procedure held in its memory. From when the plant should sprout, when the roots must come out, when the plant should become a tree, when the tree must have flowers, when the flowers must become fruits, and this whole bunch of transformations that happen within each mango fruit. Imagine, each seed contains in it all this information.
Wow, isn't that simply amazing? And to think of it, all this God has done and permitted us to eat and enjoy these fruits. And this is just about one fruit in nature.
Yes, Prem. That's very, very true. We all know the stories about the Kalpa Vriksha in Prashanti Nilayam. When Swami was a little child, he would take all his friends with him up to the hill. There is a huge tamarind tree there. Swami would climb the tree and ask his friends which fruit each one wants.
Oh yes. Then Swami would pick whatever fruit the child asks for and would give it to him. From the same tree, apples, mangoes, pomegranates, all from the same tamarind tree.
Yes. And that we consider as a beautiful and amazing miracle. And it is for sure. But now, having seen how each fruit undergoes a wonderful automated transformation, isn't the creation of each fruit in nature a miracle in itself, Prem?
And if Swami materializes something for us, we feel so delighted and grateful, don't we? Should we not be grateful for each of these gifts God gives us? Maybe it is from nature, but it is equally wondrous.
Yes, children. That is why we should always thank God for each and every small thing in life. Every fruit, every vegetable, every beautiful thing in nature is a gift from God we should thank God for.
Sai Ma, Sai Ma.
A nice song, wasn't it, children? You know, Ganesh, I read in a website the other day, do you know, they sell this strawberry milkshake in some fast food joints?
Yes. They are really yummy, you know.
Yes, of course. But this particular brand would sell strawberry milkshakes, which was very popular. But it had no strawberries in it.
Wow. Then, how did they get that flavor, Prem?
And I read there, they had to add something like 50 chemicals to imitate the natural strawberry flavor.
Oh.
Can you imagine? 50 chemicals. That's how special God-made flavors are. So children, isn't it any day better to have God-made flavors than such chemical-based flavors?
That is something the doctor tells us every week, isn't it? And just as how these fruits and vegetables are God's miracles, so is this human body, which is able to digest all these foods.
Oh, definitely. How these food items are converted into the flesh, the bones, the blood, and the energy with which we perform different tasks, this process is equally wonderful, if not more.
Then shall we listen about this from the doctor today, children? Dr. Lata Shri from the General Hospital is today going to talk about that system in the human body which converts the food we eat into our body.
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering most humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our ever-present Lord. Sai Ram children, every session, like a parrot, I am repeating that right eating is the key to healthy living. Today we shall see what happens to the food that we eat. God has created a highly specialized system to deal with the food in the body. This system is called the digestive system. It has many organs like the mouth, the pharynx, the esophagus, the stomach, and the intestine. It starts with the mouth and ends at the anus. This system not only converts the food that we eat into energy, which is required for our survival, growth, development, healing, and repair, it also packages the residue into waste for disposal. I have already spoken to you about the role of the teeth and the tongue in the process of eating, and just to remind you again, the teeth help to break down the food so that it can be digested properly, and saliva produced by the glands in the mouth helps to mix this food and pushes the food down into the gut or the alimentary canal. All the food that we swallow now goes through a structure called pharynx in the throat into the food tube called the esophagus. The esophagus, through a series of contractions, delivers the food into the stomach. The stomach is a hollow organ. It is just like a container that holds the food while it is being mixed with the enzymes. The enzymes are nothing but special substances present in the juice that is secreted by the lining of the stomach. These enzymes break down the food into simpler molecules so that digestion and absorption of the food becomes easier. The stomach also secretes an acid called hydrochloric acid, which helps in digestion of the food that we eat. This partly digested food from the stomach then reaches the small intestine. The small intestine is a 22 feet long structure which is arranged in the form of multiple coils. It is further divided into three parts called the duodenum, the jejunum, and the ileum. Most of the digestion takes place in the duodenum. Digestion means breaking up of the food into smaller molecules and making it easy to absorb. The duodenum receives digestive juices from the liver called the bile and from the pancreas called the pancreatic juices, and these enzymes are the ones that digest carbohydrates, proteins, fats present in the food that we eat. Most of the absorption takes place in the jejunum and ileum. The nutrients from the food that is digested in the duodenum now gets absorbed into the blood in this part of the small intestine. The contents of the small intestine are semi-solid in consistency, and after the process of absorption, the leftover food residue along with water enters the large intestine. The large intestine is 20 feet long and it is also called the colon. The main function of the large intestine is to absorb water present in the leftover food, and it also processes the waste, making it into a solid mass called stools or motion that we pass every day once or twice. And this feces or stools is now thrown out through the rectum and the anus. The colon also has a wide variety of good bacteria called the normal gut flora. These bacteria synthesize vitamins, they process the food particles, and also they protect the intestine from harmful bacteria. There are three important organs associated with the digestive system. They are the liver, the pancreas, and the gallbladder. The liver performs many functions. It secretes bile, which contains enzymes necessary for digestion of fats present in our diet. It also processes the raw materials absorbed from small intestine and synthesizes active chemicals from these raw materials necessary for various body functions. So we can say the liver is the chemical factory of the body. It also detoxifies the harmful substances that are present in our diet. It breaks down a variety of medicines and drugs that we take. There is only one liver in the body, unlike the lungs and the kidneys, which are two in number. So we must take very good care of the liver. The pancreas, apart from secreting the pancreatic juice, which is rich in enzymes to digest the food, it also secretes a very important hormone called insulin, which is necessary to keep the blood glucose in check in the body. A deficiency of insulin leads to increase in blood sugar, which is called diabetes. The gallbladder stores the bile, it concentrates the bile and also releases it into the duodenum for the purpose of digesting fats. I have already told you in detail about the diseases of the tongue and the teeth. So we come to the pharynx. An infection in the pharynx can give you a throat pain and difficulty in swallowing. One of the important and simple remedies for this is to gargle with warm water with a pinch of salt. And also you can have warm liquids like warm soup, warm water and rasam that will soothe the throat. One thing you should not have is chilled and cold foods when you have a sore throat. When we eat very spicy and hot foods, then the lining of the food tube can get damaged, and this gives rise to a burning sensation in the chest called the heart burn. Nowadays, esophagitis, which is caused by these highly spicy foods, is common even in children. So children should not eat lot of chilies or even spicy and pungent food from a very young age. There should be moderation in eating, as Swami often tells us. And when the stomach gets damaged because of such highly spicy food, it is called gastritis, and it can give you a stomach ache. And vomiting is also one of the symptoms of the diseases of the digestive system. When you have very severe vomiting, you must immediately consult a doctor, because you will not be able to tolerate even the medicines you take, and it also leads to loss of water from the body, leading to dehydration. So any vomiting has to be promptly treated. The stomach can also undergo inflammation and infection, giving rise to various problems like a commonly known symptom called the stomach ache. And also you can get diarrhea, which is nothing but increased frequency of watery loose stools. And when these watery stools contain blood and mucus, it is called dysentery. When you have any of these symptoms, you must immediately consult a doctor. The doctor will also tell you to have lot of liquids when you have vomiting or diarrhea. This is to prevent dehydration. And when there is blood in the stools, you must immediately consult the doctor. It can also suggest some of the serious diseases of the alimentary canal. When you are not able to pass stools easily, when you have painful defecation, or when you are suffering from constipation also, you must consult the doctor. These are some of the common symptoms associated with digestive system. Most important step to prevent infection of the stomach and the intestines is thorough hand washing with soap and water, especially before and after eating and also after ablutions. You must not eat food that is sold roadside in the open, because it can contain lot of germs and bacteria that can give you an infection of the intestines. Good personal hygiene is very, very important to prevent many of the diseases of the digestive system. You must drink at least 10 glasses of water a day. And when you feel thirsty, instead of drinking fizzy drinks, you should drink the drink that is naturally available to us, a ready-made drink that is tender coconut water, which not only refreshes us, but it contains a lot of electrolytes that prevent dehydration in the body. Also, you must always pray before eating, and as Swami says, you must chant Brahmarpanam. By chanting Brahmarpanam, three kinds of purity of the food can be attained. That is, Patra Shuddhi, purity of the vessels in which the food is cooked. Then Padartha Shuddhi, purity of the ingredients which are used for cooking the food. And Paka Shuddhi, purity of the process of cooking itself. And also food becomes prasadam, and you are partaking of prasadam. These are some of the important things that you must follow to keep the digestive system healthy. Also, you must have high fiber diet like fresh fruits and vegetables, which help to keep the food moving easily in the intestines. That's all for the day, children. Jai Saira.
Children, some of these things may be difficult for you to grasp entirely right now, but hope you are able to appreciate the grandness of God's creation and you are able to be grateful for what you have.
Oh yes, children. Because when we are able to count our blessings, that is when we will be content.
And contentment is a very important quality. Because when we feel I have enough and when I need something, my Swami will give me, we will automatically not try to take the wrong route to obtain anything.
And if all people are like this, no one will cheat another, no one will steal what belongs to another person. So children, do you see, a society where all are devoted to God and are able to have gratitude towards God, such a society will be an ideal society. All will lead good lives.
And that is why prayer is very, very important. Devotion is very, very important. And it is this message that we are going to see in today's story as well. We spoke of how a society will be ideal, right? It is said that the ancient Indian society, children, was like that. And this story is about one foreign explorer who was immensely surprised to see such a society in India.
Oh, no, no, Prem. You are telling too much about the story.
Yes.
I know, children. You love to hear it from Sumana Madam. As many of you have written to us, saying that you enjoy her stories and storytelling. So let us hear the story from her directly.
Sairam, children. This week, in the story time, let us hear a very nice Chinnakatha that our Swami has told about our wonderful country India and the precious values India has always ingrained in her children. Let me begin by introducing the hero of today's story. Children, you all have heard about Alexander the Great. You know, he lived about 2400 years ago. That is some 356 years before Christ. He was the prince of Macedonia. Macedonia was an empire located to the north of Greece. Young Alexander was so ambitious, and maybe Macedonia was too small for him to rule, so he started a series of conquests to form a kingdom big enough for his ambitions. He is one of the greatest conquerors the world has seen. Children, do you understand who is a conqueror? A conqueror is someone who uses powerful military forces to take ownership of vast amounts of others' lands. In fact, Alexander was the only emperor to be called the Great. His record still stands unbroken. For 13 long years, Alexander the Great marched his troops from battle to battle, conquering more and more territory. Through wars, Alexander was getting control of lands beginning right from Macedonia to Greece, then through Egypt, Central Asia, that is Persia, then he reached the northern borders of India, the Indus Valley. Let's see what important lesson this great world conqueror learned from two simple unknown Indians. It seems when Alexander and his troops had camped on the Indian soil, Alexander used to go to the villages around his camp because he wanted to learn the habits and the manners of the strange new land into which fate had brought him. But Alexander didn't go in his kingly attire, but he would go incognito, which means he used to go in disguise so that no one would recognize him. One evening, Alexander was taking a stroll. He overheard voices of two men arguing.
"No, it is not mine. It's yours." "No, how can it be mine?"
He could see from afar that one held a pot and he was pushing it into the other's hand, and the other was refusing to accept it. Alexander got very curious. He thought, "I have only seen people snatching things from others' hands, but never seen the other way round. Strange sight. Everything is so strange about this land." So quietly Alexander sneaked behind the bushes so he couldn't be spotted. He came close to that scene. The two men arguing were peasants. But what could be in that pot? So Alexander peered through the bushes. Oh my! It was a pot of gold coins! The first farmer was pleading with the other farmer to accept that pot of gold. But the second farmer was refusing even to look at it. Strange! Very strange, thought Alexander. Why would the man even want to give away such a treasure? And even stranger, the other was refusing. I must find out about this queer behavior. Then he sent his interpreter to find the reason. Alexander came to know that the first farmer had purchased the farmland from the second farmer. That day, the first farmer who had bought the land was ploughing his field, and the plough had got stuck at the point. So he dug up that place to remove the obstacle. And what did he find there? A jackpot, a huge pot of gold. Just imagine how rich this farmer could have become overnight. But children, did you expect that this farmer would keep the treasure to himself? No, he thought that the second farmer who had sold him the land must have hid the pot of gold coins under the soil and must have forgotten about it. So it obviously belongs to the cellar farmer. He took that pot of gold to the second farmer and had been pleading with him to take it back. So this was the scene Alexander was witnessing now. But why was the first farmer pleading? Alexander was puzzled. Because the second farmer was saying, "When I have sold my field to you, I have no right to anything found on that plot of land. So now the pot of gold is yours. Don't force me to accept it. It's against my principle to accept any possession of others." Then the first farmer was arguing, "Listen, I have bought only the land, so how can I be entitled to own the treasure which you have buried earlier? Sorry, it is not my dharma to use your hard-earned wealth, so you better take it back." Both the farmers were not ready to yield. Alexander watched the happening in awe. He couldn't believe there was a nation where truth and honesty was more important than any wealth. And here was he, Alexander the Great, busy in a series of conquests to snatch others' lands, others' kingdom, others' wealth. Let me continue the story. As Alexander watched in admiration, the two men decided to take the problem to the village elders. Children, in those days, there were no courts, but people believed and respected wisdom of the elders in the village. They were of your grandparents or your great-grandparents' age, with lot of experience about life. They were like the judges or the village panchayat.
Alexander followed the men quietly at a safe distance. They came to the village elders and each of the two men presented his case, saying that the pot of gold was not his. Now Alexander was lost in thought. It's a good chance for the judges to confiscate that treasure. Anyway, these two men don't want it. So the judges will get rich now. As he was weaving his thoughts, one of the elders cleared his throat to give the verdict. Alexander was alert now, eager. How is the problem going to be solved? And he couldn't believe what he heard. The farmer who had sold the land had a daughter. And the buyer farmer had a son. Both were of marriageable ages. So the village elders had arranged the marriage between the two. And the pot of gold was to be used up for the marriage and in feeding the guests. Wow, what a happy way out. Alexander wondered at the heights to which human virtue could rise. He was also so ashamed at his own adventurous ambitions to conquer another's country by force of war. Wasn't that a great lesson Alexander learnt here? Kids, do you know, India has never invaded any country in her last 1,000 years of history. She has always been self-satisfied, never eyed another's property or land. Many kings and countries came and plundered India for her riches in the name of trade. But India has only embraced and accommodated every culture that came. This quality is what is called contentment, the ability to be happy with whatever you have. Say, when you see your friend having something which you do not have, or you feel what he or she has is better than what you have, so you may feel a bit restless. This is called envy or jealousy. And this is a feeling where lot of problems start. So what do we do then? At such times, ask yourself this very important question. How many good things I have? Go and count the number of clothes, shirts, pants, or the toys, or books, or gadgets you have. Then remember the many, many children in the world who do not have a fraction of what you have. Do you know, kids? So many million children go to bed every night without having food. How much more lucky you are. When we learn to be grateful for what we have, we will automatically be content. We will not crave for what we think belongs to others. In fact, you will then start seeing it as a burden, like the two farmers who said, "Your pot of gold, not mine." Remember, kids, if your self-esteem or confidence is dependent on your things or possessions, then it is only a superficial confidence. It lacks a solid foundation. But when you take pride in your individual abilities, talents like dancing, sports, cooking, painting, singing, swimming, etc., or more so on your nature of helping others, sharing and kindness, then your real confidence develops. This confidence will remain throughout your life. It is this contentment and confidence that made those two simple peasants so much more rich that even Alexander the Great could receive something from them. So children, make it a habit to say thanks to God for all that you have. Till I meet you next time with another interesting story, it is Sairam from me to you kids.
Wow, that was a very, very nice story. Just like any other Chinnakatha of Swami.
Yes, yes. Swami tells us so many such simple stories and teaches us such profound lessons, doesn't he?
And that is why it is said, living with God is through education. But children, it is not that you have to be only in Puttaparthi or a temple town to live with God. Wherever you are, make Swami a part of your life. Do your everyday work as you would do it in Swami's company.
That is a way to live with God. And when we make Swami our companion, that way Swami will become our companion and teach us how to lead our lives.
Oh, that will be so beautiful. But some children are very fortunate to be brought up in such a surrounding where living with Swami becomes very easy.
Like children of our primary school. Are you wondering how? Oh, there are so many things to tell children about our primary school. But instead of we telling you, how about asking a child from the primary school? Yes, today we have a conversation with a primary school child. It will give us a tiny peek into the life of children of Swami's primary school in Prashanthi Nilayam. Come, let's listen in.
Sai Ram, dear children, today we have a special guest in our studios to talk to all of us for this episode of Children's Hour. Sai Ram, brother.
Sai Ram, sir.
What is your name?
My name is Saish. I am from Nepal. We have settled down in Puttaparthi from last 5 years. I am in class 6 in primary school. Prashanthi Nilayam.
So how did you get admission in the school at such a small age?
First we prayed to Swami.
So when you prayed, what happened?
Swami responded by giving me a seat in the school. He gave me one chance to write entrance exam. And then I wrote the exam and I got seat in the school.
Oh. But how did you come to know of Swami? Why did you want to join in primary school?
My father first worked in Malaysia in one large industry. In that, there was a Sai Samiti. They used to sing bhajans and all. And they prayed. They were devotees of Swami. So my father, one auntie told him about Swami. Then my father came first to Chaitanya Jyoti and he worked here 1 month. And then first bhajan I learned was Sai Mata Pita.
Can you sing that for us?
Yes. Sai Mata Pita Dina Bandhu Sakha. Sai Mata Pita Dina Bandhu Sakha. Tere Charano Me Sai Mera Koti Pranam. Tere Charano Me Sai Mera Koti Pranam. Mujhe Shakti Do Mere Sai Shiva. Mujhe Shakti Do Mere Sai Shiva. Mujhe Bhakti Do Mere Sai Shiva. Mujhe Bhakti Do Mere Sai Shiva. Mujhe Mukti Do Mere Sai Shiva.
So you joined primary school in the class 1.
Yes, sir.
So how was it leaving your parents and joining in the hostel? Did you miss your parents anytime?
No, I didn't feel like that because Swami, our original mother and father, was there. Our teachers and Swami take care of us in the hostel. We are free, means like how we are in the home, we are almost like that only. We see videos, we play games, we enjoy. We all together live like one family. Everybody in the dormitory will sleep together and we'll be talking together every time we'll play. So it's just like in our...
It's like one big family.
Yes.
So what is the routine like in hostel, primary school hostel?
We sleep at 9:30. And then auntie comes. Auntie tells Sai Ram boys. We wake up. And then we tell morning prayer. Then we go for brushing. class 1 to 5, auntie gives paste.
Mm.
From 6th and 7th, we have to take our own paste and have our own bath.
So for all the children, madam will give you paste?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then after auntie gives paste, we go for bathing or suprabhatam.
Mm.
After that, we go to breakfast.
Mm.
After breakfast, class 5th to 7th and sister's side, 5th to 12th will come for assembly.
Mm.
And then 1 to 4th of sisters and brothers will go for games.
Mm.
Then after our assembly, we go down to class. We have 3 periods.
Mm.
After the 3 periods, 11 o'clock break, 10 minutes.
Mm.
Then after that, again 2 periods. Then we are free for lunch break, 1 hour.
Mm.
Lunch break time, we'll complete our work. After we complete, we'll read storybooks or play whatever we want.
So much of schedule in your hostel. Which is the most favorite time in the hostel?
4 to 5.
Why?
Because that time, that is the only time when we'll left open free and we'll play games.
Oh. So you love playing games?
Yes, sir.
So what all games you play?
Football, basketball, volleyball, Coco, handball, and cricket. My favorite game is football.
Why?
Because I play well in that game.
Okay. So what is so important about the game of football?
We go according to the referee's rule. If it's like value is like God is a referee. We are the players. If you make a foul in the game of football, he'll give a card. Like that, God will give us many chances in life. If you misuse a chance, then God will surely punish us for that.
We'll face the consequence of that, what we did.
Yes, sir. But we'll get chance. We make foul, we'll get a card. Like that, God will keep on giving us card and correct us. Like that. We get chances.
So life is like a
game.
So what you should do with that?
Life is a game, play it.
So then when you have school, which all days you come for darshan in mandir?
We come for festivals. Sunday morning and evening. Thursday morning and evening. Any program time or festival time.
So you joined in first standard, right? So it's now you are in
sixth standard.
So so 6 years in Swami's hostel. But when you were as a kid, you saw Swami giving darshan, talking to all the children, celebrating festivals. Then do you miss Swami now?
No.
Why?
Swami is present everywhere, but we now his physical form are not able to see. But still miracles will happen. Just recently in one uncle's house, Bibhuti came.
So how is Swami's presence felt in your hostel? How do the children feel Swami?
When we sing bhajans at assembly time and in the evening after games, full Sai vibrations are there everywhere. We have Veda class on each class on one particular day. And when we sing.
So life is full of activity for you, which revolves around Swami.
Yes.
So which is the most sweet moment with Swami which you had? What do you remember?
When I gave one sugar candy packet to Swami.
When was it?
In first standard.
That
time Swami took it in front. Again he asked that man to go back and give me back the... I thought the sugar candy, I wanted Swami to bless it and give it back because I wanted to give to my parents and other in the school and all.
So you wanted to give it as prasadam to everybody.
That time Swami took it and went. I felt like as if Swami not going to give me back, but the compassionate Lord came back and he gave me.
So that you distributed to everybody. So that was the nice moment which you had. Any other experiences you had when Swami was physically there?
Experiences I can't say, but I gave one rose to Swami. Swami, again once more when I and one more boy, Swami gave us Bibhuti First Swami threw one vibhuti at one boy. His name was Sanatan. He was means this left side of me. I was here. Then Swami told him, give it to me. Then Swami gave him one more packet. Next day again, Swami, we both are together. Swami gave him, Swami told him, give it to me. And he gave me and Swami gave him again.
So two times he gave?
Yes.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
And again on holidays time, I gave one vibhuti packet to Swami. Swami blessed it and near me. And even rose.
You are studying in 6th standard now. So what do you want to become, Saish? What is your favorite hobby and what is your passion in life? What is any goal in life you have? As children, we would like to become something, right? So what do you want to become?
I want to become neurosurgeon.
Why neurosurgeon?
Because brain is first of all one of the important part of the body. And after I earn money, I want to develop my own country.
So why at all only neurosurgery? Yeah, there are heart is also very important. See, eyes are very important. Without eyes, you cannot do any surgery. You can't see. Why only neurosurgery?
Because when I saw the movie, English movie, yes, Ben Carson, that time when he did operation, even I felt like...
That time you felt?
Yes.
So, when you become a doctor, what would you like to do?
Be loving and kind to all the patients. Treat them properly. Speak to them lovingly.
Okay. So, this is holiday time. Summer vacation. 2 months you are away from school. Are you missing the primary school now during the vacation time? And what is your schedule like? Do you follow the same time when you get up? Oh.
No, not in the home. In home, in the school, you get up at 6 o'clock. In the home, you'll get up at 7 o'clock.
What do you do the entire day during vacation?
After I get up, I'll do exercises in my veranda. After that, I'll chant one Vedas when they will chanting from Kulwantar. After that I will do my homework. After that I'll play for some time. Then we'll eat our breakfast after I finish brushing and all. After that my father will come, that time we'll have our lunch. After lunch I'll again do my homework. I'll sleep for some time, then I'll have to go for tuition from 5 to 8. After that, come back. My parents will come, or sometimes I'll only go to my house. After that, we'll go for a walk inside ashram. We'll go to Sahyadri, then Sahyadri temple and all. Then we'll take one round and come back to our house. Then we'll have our dinner and I'll sleep.
Asayish, what are your hobbies?
My hobbies are singing, coloring, painting, playing football.
Okay. Playing football, though you have told us that you are very interested in playing football. But what about singing? What kind of music you like?
Carnatic.
Oh, Carnatic.
And English songs.
Can you sing one Carnatic song for us?
Pahirama Chandra Palita Surendra Parama Pavana Sat Guna Gana Chandra Niramu Nilatani Ramavadana Pahirama Chandra Palita Surendra Parama Pavana Sat Guna Gana Chandra.
You told you like English songs a lot.
Yes, sir.
So which is your favorite English song?
I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. And it's sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. My Lord and I, my Sai and I. My Sai and I.
Sai, you never went back to Nepal after coming here?
Yes, sir.
You never went back. Have you ever felt like asking your parents, take me to Nepal, I want to see Nepal?
No, no. I never felt like telling them that I want to go to Nepal because here only I feel okay.
So you feel happy here?
Because I am suited to this environment. From 5 years I was staying here only.
Oh, good. So, what is that you want to tell to all our children who are listening to this Children's Hour program?
I would make friends with anybody who are I meet. Singing will make us more closer to God. We'll feel like as if we are with Him. In our school, everything we learn will be according to the schedule and according to Swami's rules and regulations. We enjoy a lot. Everybody is loving over there.
So what do you want to tell the children about Prashanthinilayam? About your primary school? About
Prashanthinilayam, we have Nagar Sankirtan, then they chant Omkaram, everything. It's like, means all good vibrations are all around. We feel the presence of Swami, though we can't see his physical form. We feel like Ajav is really there here. We can feel all the good vibrations we had in the past.
So if children are eager to come to Prashanthinilayam, what do you want to tell them?
If they cannot afford to come here, I would tell them to sing bhajans there, chant Vedas, it's like do puja and all, which will sing bhajans, sing music.
So what will it do?
It will make us feel like as if we have, like God is close to us, because singing will take us more close to God and all good, we'll feel all good vibrations around us.
Thank you, Saish, for your time. Thank you, children, for your patient listening. Once again, from all the children, thanks to Saish. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So, children, how did you enjoy this week's conversation and this week's Children's Hour? Well, if you are saying, yes, we liked it, Ganesh and I cannot hear you here. We will know only if you send us a mail with your comments.
And that mail, you have to send it to listener@radiosai.org. That is listener at radiosai.org. And children, do you remember the discussion we had in the Children's Hour last week about homeworks? Little Suparna wrote to us about her thoughts about the discussion.
Yes, and she said, homework is the most important part of our curriculum. But homework should strictly not be given on holidays and Sundays and during exams.
That is a very good point, Suparna. And thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. And to all of you children, thank you for joining us today.
And we will meet you next week, same time. Live from Prashanthinilayam. Sai Ram, children.
Sai Ram, children.